Welcome back to Guys Gabbin Gridiron, everybody. I'm Josh McSwain, joined as always by co-host AJ Torres. We got wrap up of week one NFL action, and we'll give you our predictions for week two. Historically, one of the hardest weeks to predict because of all the overreactions to week one, which we'll get into right now. So one thing that might have been an overreaction, maybe, maybe not, after missing a game-winning field goal in Houston, the Indianapolis Colts got rid of kicker Rodrigo Blankenship.
Oh, boy. How do you start the day one of week two? By getting canned. Not ideal.
It is not. They haven't signed a kicker immediately. Of course, they're going to have one before they go to Jacksonville this week. But Chase McLaughlin and Lucas Havrisik have been signed to the practice squad. One of them, presumably, will be the guy in North Florida Sunday. I mean, it's just like there is no mercy for kickers anymore, but sometimes you see kickers get a second chance. You remember a few years ago, Daniel Carlson, he struggled the first few weeks with the Vikings. They got rid of him. He resurfaced with the then Oakland Raiders. Then he went to Vegas with them. And now he's one of the best kickers in the league.
It goes by confidence and, you know, it's just luck, practice. I mean, some guys gave Koo a little bit of grief because they said the kick was too low, but you're trying to make him shoot for over 60 yards. You're going to have to go down a little bit. And even if the kick wasn't blocked, there's no guarantee that that thing goes in. And we'll cover that shortly.
Correct. You had some performances on both sides of the spectrum from kickers, like you had Cade York of the Browns. Rookie kicker made a game-winning, what was it, 55-yarder in Carolina?
Good for the rookie, although I feel bad for Baker, honestly.
Yeah, just to confirm, 58. It was 58-yard field goal by York.
That kind of reminds me of the Jake Elliott kick. Remember Carson Wentz is just kind of going on there? I think it was for 61. And he goes, well, God, man, if this guy makes it, I'll give him my game check. And sure enough, he was man to his word.
That's good. Then we had the wacky adventures in kicking in Cincinnati.
Oh, God.
I watched that game live, and it was just, I don't know what to say about that game. Because
the Bengals deserve to lose that game.
They did, because they turned the ball over five times.
And in my opinion, I think the refs were being a little fugazi on Minka.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. But the thing is, that game shouldn't have been close. It was just agreed. Trubisky in the offense did next to nothing. They produced only 6 points on their own, not including the points off turnovers.
I understand that part. But, I mean, granted, Joe Burrow did turn it over five times. So how much time did Trubisky really get to himself that was fair play? Not much. Although my big concern, outside of TJ Watt getting hurt, didn't they say that they upgraded the offensive line?
Yes.
Quote, unquote, upgraded the offensive line?
Yeah, we were all looking forward to that, and Burrow still gets sacked 7 times.
Listen, he got sacked 9 times versus the Rams. You quote-unquote upgrade your offensive line, and he got sacked 7 times. He's still taking the beating. Listen, turnovers, no turnovers. I like Burrow, I do. But at the end of the day, you're a little scared because it didn't matter if TJ Watt was hurt or not towards the end. And he will be for a couple months, which is always unfortunate. But
correct.
I understand there's the it's only week one, but that's a little concern to me because this upgrade doesn't look like it. Does upgrade mean like the Arizona Cardinals where we're still mediocre at that position and will be for the next 4 years?
Well, one thing to keep in mind is that line didn't play much together in the preseason. And because they didn't play a lot together in the preseason, they just didn't come out and they weren't really in sync. And that's why I understand not playing starters all the time in the preseason to avoid the risk of injury, but you got those men, that many new guys trying to gel. You got to give them at least some game time together. But also, Zach Taylor mismanaged the clock at the end of the game. On their last possession of overtime when they punted with 15 seconds left on the play clock and the game clock was running. It's like, why do you not burn an extra 12 seconds and then you kick? And then you only leave the Steelers maybe 45 seconds on the flip side instead of like a minute? I'm just like, that's football coaching 101. Come on now.
We understand that, but also it's not just from the coach too, because at the end of the day, you're telling me that the guys that are on the special teams unit don't see the clock? You look by the goalpost, the clock is right there in front of you. It's easy to see. You're trained to see that. So I can't put that on, I can't put that on Zach Thomas. I got to put that on the special teams unit as well. I understand that 15 seconds does mean a lot when you're in that quote-unquote two-minute drill. But I can't put that on the head coach alone. I'm sorry.
Well, that's fair. Also, I think the Bengals had had some technical issues in the stadium during the game. They had to turn one side of the playing game clock off. So it might have been that the only working one was at their back and that they didn't know. But still, if you're the punter, you got to at least take a look. And maybe with 6 seconds left, you're like, okay, now I turn around and then tell them to snap the ball. Still, it's someone's fault. Yes.
That's the first time I've heard an official saying, we are not using this clock. First time I've ever heard somebody.
First time for me, too.
How many times have you heard a ref wave his arms and say, we are not using this clock on this side? It is inaccurate. I've never. Now, listen, just like if the Rams stadium ever had the power outage because there's a power shortage in the area. Well, technical difficulties in Cincinnati. I mean, you kind of kicked your own butt there if you think about it. You kicked your own butt in your own stadium with your own clock.
I suppose so.
No, oh, the pain, the technical difficulties, SOB.
Yes. All right, so I know it's been a little bit. It seems like that Bills-Rams game that opened the season is old news now. But, I mean, can we just take a moment to appreciate the level of smackdown that the Bills whipped out on Thursday night?
I mean, too many unanswered points by the Rams. I mean, you thought in at halftime that they were going to have a plan. Yeah, they came up with a plan. Look for Cooper Kupp being open. They didn't see him open. Crap their pants. I mean, the offensive line couldn't hold a nosebleed. You saw that defensive unit. We thought it was going to be good, but we didn't think it was going to be this good. You had sacks all over the place from names that people didn't even recognize. Von Miller, too, but I didn't hear about Phillips before today, the guy in the defensive line. I didn't.
Right.
Josh Allen rammed it down their throat. The defense was consistent, and every time Cooper Kupp wasn't open, Matt Stafford had to avoid sacks. And what'd he do for the whole second quarter? The man, along with Sean McVay, who I'm sorry, but he did not adjust well enough. That dynamic duo laid a duo of eggs.
All that is fair to say. Yeah, the turnovers by the Bills in the first half that gave the Rams a temporary life preserver, but after the Rams started turning it over, the game showed you how lopsided it actually was. The Bills dominated, plain and simple. Also, I just want to give a shout-out to Boogie Basham. Maybe my favorite name in the NFL right now. That's a great name for a defensive end. Just have something. Basham. Just appreciate that for a second. That's all I'm saying. If I had to give him power rankings right now, there's no question going into week 2, the Bills would be on top of it because Gabriel Davis has picked up right where he left off.
Yep.
And
Stephon Diggs,
Allen seems to have gone up another level. Von Miller finally gives them that real impact pass rusher that they could have used last year.
He's back.
And let's not forget, Tre'Davious White is still not on the field yet. If he is healthy, particularly for a stretch run, yikes.
And to be honest with you, the way that they're playing, this isn't like J.J. Watt where you have to rush him back. Tre'Davious White, dude, if you need an extra week, go for it. It can wait.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, this is why. I mean, I didn't think it was going to be this good, but I mean, if they play like they did against the Rams, which essentially they are a very similar team to last year outside of three guys.
Right.
I mean, if the Bills play like this, this is the reason why I picked them to win the Super Bowl, which kind of breaks my heart being a Chiefs fan.
Yep. It looks like Mahomes Allen could be the new Manning Brady series that
is must watch. I keep hearing these rivalries going. I hear him Lamar, him Allen, him Burrow. I mean, however you want to put it, I think Josh Allen and Mahomes are basically the top two, and that's your tier one. I'm trying not to be biased here, but every single week, doesn't matter the competitor, we know what they bring, and there's just not any inconsistency where you're like, hey, you're a top five in a game, what are you doing? It's like you put those two guys at tier one, and then you put the other guys at tier two, and you go from there. Anyone that has Josh Allen right now out of their top three of quarterbacks, I just don't know what to say. And I hate to say it, because the reason why I say those are the tier ones is because we just saw Tom Brady, obviously he's getting older, and what happened with Rodgers and Russell Wilson week one, those guys, they browned their pants.
Well, once again, this is week one and overreactions abound. I'm not going to write Brady off just yet. I wouldn't write the other two off just yet. I mean, think about it. The Bucs offensive line was, you know, about as holed up as Swiss cheese.
I will say, though, they held up better in the second half.
A little bit better, yes.
That's with three guys down.
I think we're to four now because they lost Donovan Smith, their left tackle, in the middle of the game. They're already missing their three interior guys. Well, at least the three interior guys from last year. One of the guys, one of their guards, might still have been the planned week one starter, but still, Shaq Mason. I think he was pegged as the right guard, but he's still new. That's my point.
Got any guys from the parking lot, but unfortunately, Bill Belichick isn't here to scout him out for you, Brady. Come on, you have to admit, those are the two positions that Bill Belichick seems to find from the parking lot. Offensive linemen and running backs.
It is true, and it's ironic that he can't find anyone in the draft. He's one of the worst drafters I've ever seen. Great coach, but his drafting is just awful. But I'm getting sidetracked. Let's get back to the week one action. Really good game was the first game for the Commanders as they took on the Jaguars. Carson Wentz, redemption. Four touchdown passes, including the game winner. And honestly, the Jaguars looked fairly decent in this game too. James Robinson said, yeah, I'm back. I'm still here. Trevor Lawrence, other than the one interception, fair performance. So, despite the loss, if I'm Doug Peterson, I would come away from that feeling at least okay.
I agree. I mean, nothing was bound to be perfect for this game, but it was competitive all the way through. And for your first game with a new organization, I think that's plausible. Also, if you go with the takeaways here, Christian Kirk was paid as a wide receiver one, and he showed it. Six catches, 117 yards. I mean, only caught half of his targets. I mean, take that as you might, but I mean, threw the ball halfway around. This running back duo could be potentially one of the best in the NFL. And did you see that one hit on Travis Etienne where I'm actually surprised he got up?
No, I didn't.
Oh my goodness. It was the second crash heard around the world where I hear fans in the stands gasp, and I'm like, how did he get up? That guy's nails. He earned my respect.
Definitely. Well, let's move on to another game. A result we've already kind of made reference to, but I think surprised a lot of people, which was the tie between the Colts and the Texans. I mean, I said I thought this game would be closer than people thought, but I mean, if you just look at it from a yardage standpoint, the Colts were a lot better. Matt Ryan, 352 passing yards. Jonathan Taylor, 161 on the ground. Davis Mills, 240 through the air, couple touchdowns. Meanwhile, the running game for the Texans averaged 2.8 yards a carry. That's just sad. OJ Howard, what hole did he come out of? Well, he caught two touchdowns.
Well, not only that, but when's the last time that the Houston Texans have utilized a tight end?
When Owen Daniels was playing.
And occasionally Darren Fells before he got too old.
Right. But shout out to Jerry Hughes. Two sacks and an interception, free agent signee from the Bills. Working out good in Lovie Smith's defense. I really think Mills at this point should be considered the best quarterback of the 2021 class so far.
So far, I mean, the jury will still be out and there's a little bit of competition, but you can't argue with
Yes.
that. And speaking of, I
Right.
regret not picking up Woody Pay on my fantasy team. Two sacks, six tackles, Malone. Very
Right.
good performance. The only thing that was bad, in my opinion, is that if you look at it, majority of their points came in the fourth quarter. And Specs, who got the boot, well, I'm sorry, but when you give your opponent a pass to the 40-yard line twice in one game. Once is by accident. Two is, bro, you're killing me. And then the choking in the field goals once, twice at that level with all the talent around, you get the boot. It's sad, but it is what is. He'll get picked up eventually by some team, just don't know who.
Right. But continuing on second-year quarterbacks, we had two of them going at it in Chicago. And I called this upset. Yay!
Yay.
Justin Fields. And the Bears took down the 49ers. I will say, neither quarterback looked all that good. Of course, the weather was dreadful up there.
And
But
that
yeah.
is one of the worst fields in the NFL. That,
True,
I mean,
true.
that the fact that you got wet mops going and the, I've never seen a field where instead of it going into the turf itself, it's actually sweeping off the top of it. I'm not sure if it's because it doesn't drain well. I understand that's not a baseball field where it needs to drain, but come on, that was absolutely awful. Those were some of the most piss poor conditions I've ever seen. And the fact that, I mean, if you look at the completions with the weather, Fields was 8 for 17 and Lance was 13 for 28. Those completion percentages are terrible.
Yeah, they set offensive football back about 60 years.
Yeah.
But anyways, I still think that Fields could have the potential to be a pretty good quarterback in the future. But yeah, with Lance, I just don't know if the 49ers are really going to screw up his development, because we talked about it last week that we weren't sure he was really ready. And now, since they decided to keep Jimmy G, you're wondering if he's going to start looking over his shoulder again, which was the exact scenario they were trying to avoid.
You know, on top of that, I was listening to some radio. I was over taking a drive. If anyone in the audience has ever listened to WFAN 660 New York, Mark Melusis was on, and he's a very respectable man in the industry. And there's this big debacle, and it's going to be the talk of all season, possibly next season, of Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance. And everyone for the last, what, 3 or 4 years has said he's more handsome than talented, correct?
Well, I
To a
mean, you've
point.
said that on this show many, many times. And I mean,
So I
people think
so
he's dreadful. I know he's limited, but he's a serviceable quarterback. Sometimes I think he gets too negative of a rap, but I
so
mean, I'm going to
don't
acknowledge his limitations.
so onto that, right? We know the limitations. So the way that he kind of spoke about it, right, is for a guy who's so talked down, for a guy who's so criticized, for a guy who's limited, had a lot of critique against him. He's won a lot of games. For somebody that's apparently so mediocre, how did he win so many football games? And that's one thing that we didn't take account for, because the way that I've referred to this, because I thought about it. Okay, so if we go by, here's the perfect example. Justin Fields only had 17 pass attempts. He won the game. He only completed 8 passes and still won the game, regardless of the weather, regardless of the conditions out there. What'd the guy do? He won a football game. And I think that needs to be more acknowledged.
I mean, sometimes it's just moving the chains and making the right throw when you have to.
Absolutely.
But anyways, let's move on just a little bit. The Falcons really gave the Saints a run for their money. Will
That was
Lutz made a
amazing.
game-winning kick. I was really surprised. Good on you, Atlanta, holding tough in that one. The Eagles and the Lions, yeah, that was a lot of great running in that game. Eagles averaged 5.5 a carry. The Lions were averaging 6.5 a carry, though with that 150-yard run by DeAndre Swift, you take it out, it goes down to 4.9. But anyway, well played game all around.
So, just one thing, the caption on the Saints and Falcons. I won't mention Atlanta not holding their lead or anything else, but Jarvis Landry, one hell of a game. And my surprise, but maybe not to some, is MT13 back. Is Michael Thomas back? It's been about 2 seasons since we've seen the real MVP level, elite level Michael Thomas. 5 catches, 57 yards, 2 touchdowns.
I
He's
don't know
back.
that he'll ever be back to what he used to be, but I still think he can be a productive player.
Got a lot of weapons on that team. He may not produce the numbers, but is the talent still there? To my surprise, with all the injuries and all the BS, I think it's there.
Sure looks like it. Well, a game that we both got wrong. Patriots went and really laid an egg in Miami.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel got it done. Although it should be noted that the Dolphins really seemed to do well against the Patriots in Miami, even during the Brady years. I think 8 out of the last 10 years they've won in South Beach. And, everybody made a huge deal about all the weapons that are on the outside for the Dolphins. You got Hill, you got Gesicki, you got Waddle. It's just, would Tua be good enough? Tua didn't light it up, but I mean, he didn't make those crucial mistakes. And we talk about dudes that can manage a game. If that's what Tua is, maybe this Dolphins team has something. I still think it's disappointing because you don't draft a guy with the 5th overall pick to just be a game manager. But still, something to keep our eye on this year.
I mean, and he has some sort of back injury lingering too. I mean, Mac Jones, I mean, efficient. 21 for 30, 213, a touchdown, an interception, and he did lose a fumble. So, I mean, the turnovers will obviously kill you. So, I mean, two turnovers by a Jones, one by Nelson Aguilar. And even though Tua did not throw, he still doesn't throw a good ball to me, but it was still just good coaching, good management, and they spread the ball around a lot, and they just did the job well. Jalen Waddle looks great. Hill looks great. Just so many weapons and a lot of potential on this team.
Yep. Well, the Ravens beat the Jets like we all expected. Any comments on this Browns Panthers game that we haven't made already? You know, we talked about the Baker revenge tour, and he was just okay. Jacoby Brissett was, you know, serviceable. 157 yards, touchdown pass. Nick Chubb ran for 141 yards.
That Panthers defense, I thought, was much better. So we talked about how the Browns line is not the same. But if you look at it, Nick Chubb ran him over.
Yes, he did.
The touchdowns really came to Kareem Hunt. But man, oh man, this team is a lot better than you think. And everybody, I think, wrote off Jacoby Brissett like he was nothing. The man only threw for 147 yards, only threw one touchdown to Kareem Hunt. That's when he got everybody looking. That won the game. I mean, he made everybody look foolish. For anyone trying to bet this game thinking that Baker Mayfield is going to blow him out of the water, trust me, my heart wanted that too. But you don't bet with your heart.
No, you don't. Well, anyways, game that shocked a lot of people. The Giants upset the Titans as Brian Daboll goes for two and gets it at the end. Were you impressed?
That was absolutely nails. And when asked in the press conference of, if you didn't make the two-point conversion, were you nervous about the criticism? And he said, you can't make every single move worried about that your job's going to be taken away. So basically, he said, I got to do it for me. I got to take the risk to try and do what's best for this organization. Not for me, not to be safe. And he had a choice. Either take your loss with grace, you could make it go into overtime, but at that point, your defense is already tired and your offense, I mean, who knows how much they had left back in the tank. You couldn't depend on Saquon Barkley. He was most likely tired. He had the game of his career.
Yeah, 164 rushing yards. Great performance turned in there.
Granted, on his contract year, and I'm not surprised when everyone's got that contract year going, but that is what Giant fans have hoped Saquon Barkley to be for his entire tenure as being a Giant. And even though he showed signs early on where he doesn't look good with contact and he doesn't run in between the numbers, what'd he do? 18 carries, shoved it up there for 164 yards and a touchdown. And we even saw the revival of Sterling Shepard, a healthy and vengeful Sterling Shepard. Yeah. Again, I haven't thought high of Sterling Shepard since the photo of all the Giants wide receivers on the boat.
Right. He's been hurt a lot, too.
Absolutely.
That comes into play. And also, Derrick Henry, only 82 yards on the ground, under 4 yards a carry. I was thinking coming into this season, he's going to be declining. He's not going to be the same. We'll see if he turns it around. Dontrell Hilliard got a big role in the offense, and I think it might continue.
Absolutely. And my thought is, let's see, his numbers even shown up? I don't see the numbers showing up here for, I don't actually show, I don't see Burks' numbers on here. This is NFL.com I'm looking at.
Well, Treylon Burks had 3 catches for 55 yards, targeted 5 times. Hilliard caught 3 passes for 61 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also had a couple of carries.
I mean, they all look good.
Indeed.
The Titans did look good, but again, it was a tight situation. The defense couldn't hold on. And Brian Daboll, I understand that there's some things that are not ideal, but it's shown that he's made a difference in that locker room.
Yeah, just I think he brings a different mentality, and I think he's not afraid of whatever he might face, and that's going to be huge for that team. But let's keep it rolling now. Packers laid an egg in week one for the second year in a row, losing 23-7 in Minnesota. Justin Jefferson went off. Aaron Rodgers stunk.
I mean, you had Jordan Love playing the fourth quarter. That kind of sums it, all of it up for the Packers. The one thing that got me was A.J. Dillon, I think, had a very good game. If you go by, I think, 91 total yards and a rushing touchdown, got denied of another one, good stop by Minnesota. And if you look at what was a momentum shift, if you look at the Christian Watson early catch where it's absolutely in the breadbasket, lets it drop out of his hands onto the ground, and Aaron Rodgers is just looking, and everybody around me is going, he's never going to see that ball again. He's never going to see that ball again. Because that right there, it potentially a very good chance would have been one of those 75-yard bombs to the house. And that would have been a complete momentum shift. After that, well, as my father would say, it's all gone down south. And it did.
Indeed. Well, moving on, Chiefs absolutely rolled the Cardinals. I kind of thought they would. Patrick Mahomes lit it up. Oh, I did.
You see, I thought they were going to win personally. I was hopeful. But seeing my team for all these years, there's one thing they did this game that I'm not used to seeing. You know how there's some teams that just say, just put them away for crying out loud. Well, there's been so many times where I've seen Andy Reid and company let off the gas. And this week, they did not let off the gas. They said, hey, Kyler, you want to get paid more guaranteed money than Mahomes? Hold my beer. We got something for you. What'd they do? They crammed it down their throat. 5 touchdowns for Mahomes. I mean, could have went 6, but he was nice. Gave it to the rookie running back. That to me, as a fan, was absolutely beautiful. And if you're a Cardinals fan, that was pain. That was absolute pain. There's a lot of questions about what was going to happen here. A couple of injuries for both sides. Wondering how the offense was going to fill out. Of course, Kelce was going to have a role, but a couple touchdowns by Clyde, one by Fortson, which is a name that most people didn't hear about. One for Hardman, which is rare. I mean, couple of fumbles, which are always unfortunate, but if you just look at what was done, I mean, Carlos Dunlap looking great, Nick Bolton looking great. I mean, obviously a lot of the guys that they drafted just looking great. And Justin Reed, thank you for being the new addition and our replacement kicker for the time being. And Andy Reed, believe it or not, blames the turf. He said that the Arizona turf was not good that day, and that's why they got 2 injuries.
Sure.
Which is rare because I've seen the procedure of how it goes. They roll it out of the stadium, and then they roll it in when it's game time.
Yep, they cook it in the Arizona sun.
Something must have happened with the procedure.
Who knows? I wonder if the whole turf thing is a cop-out, but Let's keep going. Had a pretty good game in the AFC West between the Raiders and the Chargers. Chargers got a 17-3 lead. Derek Carr brought the team back within striking distance, but ultimately the Chargers held on. Not much on the ground from either side. Eckler, I think, had 36 rushing yards. Josh Jacobs with 57. Adams had himself a day in his Raiders debut with 10 catches for 141.
That was really a good game.
It was.
Kept it close, which is what was nice.
Yeah.
Granted, I liked my game because it was my team, but
I'm starting
to really – some of the matchups, being non-biased, I'd say some of the best matches I've ever seen the last couple of years, it's been between the Raiders and the Chargers. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, they always play entertaining games.
And they've made it close the entire time.
Correct. Well, let's move on to Sunday night football debacle. So the Buccaneers defeated the Cowboys 19-3 in another game that was really stagnant. You had two teams with little offensive line, and the Cowboys lost another offensive lineman, Connor McGovern, in the second quarter. And, you know, Tyler Smith showed that he is absolutely not ready to be an NFL left tackle. I don't know if he's ever going to really be, but I won't elaborate too much on that. He seems like a great guard type of player, road grading, physical run blocker, but can he keep up with those speedy edge rushers and not commit penalties? Well, the Cowboys thought so, but do you trust anything Jerry Jones says? And usual, my man Alex Alcazaz, Bear Man of Texas, just absolutely ripped into Kellen Moore. Absolutely hates the dude. Thinks the play calling is terrible. I'd love to see a debate between him and our man McConaughey, who thinks Greg Roman is the worst. Who is the worst offensive coordinator in the NFL? I think that'd be fun.
Hey, tell you what, maybe I got one for you. This is obviously just hypothetical. Maybe I'll get my white dress shirt and my black bow tie so I look like I'm a boxing referee, and I be the judge between McConaughey and Alex and see how it goes for the worst man for play calling. Those two duking it out and just experiencing serious pain. Well, that's up my alley. And you would just be there watching, just kicking back and grabbing a drink, just listening to the tomfoolery. One day.
Yeah, we should definitely get this arranged. But of course, we can't get away from that without mentioning Dak. Thumb injury, now out 6 to 8 weeks. Jerry Jones says only 4. I don't believe it. I think he's just towing the company line.
Agreed.
As Stephen A. Smith said, Cowboys season is over. Someone else said they should trade for Jimmy G. I'm just like, 49ers would probably ask a premium for a rental. I just don't know if this season is worth saving for Dallas anyway.
Not only that,
they didn't invest in the offensive line reared its ugly head because Terrence Steele, he did not have a very good night at all. They got to get something new in there. Jason Peters, he's going to be starting next week. I can pretty much assure you of that.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, with all this trouble with Jimmy G, you would not do that. If anything, I'm not sure who would be available if you wanted to trade for somebody.
And Rush really isn't that bad. I think let's just let Rush show what he's got and
that's all he can do.
Go from there. Yeah, I'd agree.
Unless you are a win now team who has their quarterback down and you don't want to rebuild or anything else, I mean, what quarterback is really on the market right now? Because I think Jimmy G's off the table. And I think if somebody wanted him, I think they would have done it by now.
Probably.
I mean, who now? Jordan Love?
Oh, boy.
But at the same time, if you're the Packers, you face the Cowboys in the playoffs. You know, the Cowboys could be a playoff team. So this is the part where you kind of go, why would we help a competing playoff NFC team? You just wouldn't.
I'd agree with you on that. Finally, on Monday night, another case of bad clock management as Denver was down 1 point in the last minute of the game. On a 4th and 5, they let the clock down and decide to kick a 64-yard field goal instead of giving Russell Wilson 45 seconds and more time to work with. I mean, Russell Wilson's a future Hall of Famer. You got to let the guy go make a play for you. I didn't get it.
There's a couple of things I have to say about that one. First off, as far as the red zone, there being two fumbles, that was very crucial.
It is correct.
And
Broncos
two,
were the better team, but they screwed themselves.
they could not finish. They choked. I understand that the defense isn't a doormat,
Is
but for
not.
crying out loud, the two fumbles just, fumbles all around. I mean, you got one by Gordon, you got one by Javonte, so that doesn't help. But at the end of the day, Russ, management, you have a $40 million quarterback. And listen, even a mile high, tell me on paper, and even when you're watching a game and it gives you the, hey, field goal range, you know, there's the red bar. And when you're a kid, everyone's like, how do they make them go there? How do they get there so fast? How do they paint it? At least that happened to me when I was a kid. But where is the ideal circumstance where you go, hey, we're going to have our kicker go for 60 plus yards? Never. Even if it was a mile high, you don't have your kicker planned for 60 plus yards. You're telling me your $40 million quarterback cannot get you at least attempt to go a couple more yards. Whoever made that decision, I don't care who it is, what coordinator, head coach, Russell himself, whatever. That's BS. If you're a Broncos fan, that is terrible to experience. That was a bad job. If your $40 million quarterback can't get you 10 yards in the 2 minute drill, you made a bad sign. I understand the fumbles, but if you go case scenario, game on the line, 2 minute drill, why can't your quarterback give your kicker 10 yards? Because I don't know any team. I don't care if it's the Chiefs. I don't care if it's the Raiders. I don't care if it's the Ravens with Justin Tucker. You don't create an ideal circumstance where you say, we're comfortable for our guy to kick 64 yards. That's one off from the record. BS. No, you don't do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you on that. So, also got to give a lot of credit to Geno Smith. He played a fantastic game, something I don't think many people expected.
Most people. I was
Indeed.
optimistic. I'm just like, okay. I mean, the weapons were there. So I thought, let's just see how this play out. I honestly didn't know what to think. I thought it was going to be a down year for the Seahawks, but as far as Geno's performance, I just knew he wasn't great. But I haven't seen him play really since Russ got hurt.
Yeah, all seems fair. Well, that wraps up week 1. Let's go to week 2 picks. We start off Thursday night. We got the Chargers going to Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs. Who do you got in this one?
You know, based on momentum and being at home, I'm going Chiefs.
This should be an absolute barn burner. I'm actually going to disagree, and I'm going to go with the Chargers.
And that's fair enough. I could I think that's going to be a close game. So we'll see what happens.
Indeed. Now the Jets go to Cleveland to take on the Browns. Who do you got in that one?
Let's see.
For me, Browns.
I gotta go with the Browns. I mean, the Jets, I can't root for the Jets until further notice. It's all bad. Well, not all bad, but the Browns beat a decent team. They got the momentum going their way.
Yep, and they got a run game they can fall back on and a good defense too. Flacco, meet Myles Garrett. You'll be
Oh,
well
yes.
acquainted by the end of the day.
Pain.
Moving on, Washington at Detroit.
I'm gonna go Detroit here.
Me too. Fighting Dan Campbells are going to get him one this week.
I mean, that team is no slouch, and they were neck and neck with the Eagles, and that is,
Yep.
as far as I'm concerned, we didn't talk much about that game, but I mean, I'm starting to really believe in Jalen Hurts as the time goes on. The way that I would describe him in words of Barry McConaughey, the Diet Lamar.
Okay. That is one Twitter account I just hope to forget about. But anyways.
His YouTube content's actually very good, I will say. Very, very good, I promise you. But going forward, the Lions, I want to see them win.
Yep, fighting Dan Campbell's. Go get 'em.
Yep.
New America's team. Okay, maybe not.
I
Moving
hope.
on, NFC South showdown, Buccaneers at the Saints.
I still think that defense is too good. I understand that this would be a nice revenge game for Jameis, but I'm going Bucks.
I'm gonna go ahead and roll with the Saints. I know it's pick against Tom Brady at your own peril, but their offense really just didn't look that good. Of course, what do you make of the Saints not looking very good against Atlanta?
For
I
sure.
don't know, man. Maybe the Saints defense isn't going to be all that in a bag of chips anymore. I guess we're about to find out.
Oh, yes.
Moving on, Carolina at the Giants.
I'll go Panthers here.
I agree.
I'm biting my tongue on this one, but I'll go Panthers. At the end of the day, this game I think will go down to quarterbacking. I see two similar teams.
Yep, they are pretty similar. Next up, we got the Patriots at the Steelers.
Oof.
This is a tough one because no TJ Watt. We don't know about Najee Harris. How good is the Steelers offense really? And then what do we make of the Patriots who laid an egg personally? I don't see Belichick getting embarrassed twice in a row, so I'm going to go with the Patriots.
I'm going with the Patriots because anytime you look at a matchup between Bill Belichick and Mike Tomlin, you go Bill Belichick.
Fair enough. All right, next up, we got the Colts at the Jaguars. The Jaguars have won seven in a row in this series at home. Do they keep it going?
Something's got to give. Give me Colts.
I'm thinking the same thing, but I think it'll be pretty close.
Oh, absolutely. But you think they'll be able to stop the run?
I mean, it's Jonathan Taylor, so very few teams can. But granted, the Jags did it last year in Week 18. You never know what could happen.
Well, the whole
Honest.
team, I think, browned its pants, but I see.
Yeah. Moving on, we got Miami at Baltimore.
I thought about it. Give me Baltimore.
Same here. Atlanta at the Rams.
Give me Rams.
Yep, easy for me too.
Absolutely an easy matchup.
Yep. Seattle at San Francisco.
Oh. Well, considering the weather is going to be okay, if it rains in San Francisco at 4 o'clock, I'd be amazed. Give me the 49ers. I
I
trust in
agree.
that defense. defense, better weather. I take 49ers.
Bengals at the Cowboys.
I got to go Bengals just because of Dak being out.
Definitely.
So expect Micah Parsons and that pass rush to have a good game. Like, if you're Joe Burrow, well, you and Micah Parsons might be chatting a lot.
Could be. They need to rely on Joe Mixon because Leonard Fournette had a really good game running the ball for the Bucs on Sunday. So Mixon get a lot of touches. I think the Bengals get out fine. Next up, we got the Texans going to Denver. Give me the Broncos.
I know you're a Texans fan, but unfortunately, give me the Broncos.
Yeah, it's going to be a while before we're picking the Texans very consistently. I get it. Moving on, we got the Cactus Bowl. Arizona going to Vegas.
Well, I don't need to be a prick to AZ, but give me the Raiders. And trust me, people, I'm a KC fan. I hate the Raiders. I hate the Raiders. But as far as the Cardinals with everything they got going on, I hope they lose. Give me the Raiders, and you're going to see with the Cardinals of what you are wasting your time with.
Yeah, I'm going Raiders all the way. Adams Carr's going to be brilliant connection. Chandler Jones going to be chasing down his old teammate all day.
Start the car.
Yep, silver and black. Now on Sunday night, we've got the old classic Bears at the Packers.
I think this one's simple, huh?
Yep. He still owns that team, so give me the green and gold.
Hey there, guy. Go Packers.
There you have it. Now you got a Monday doubleheader you got.
What said.
Tennessee at Buffalo.
Buff. I mean, I think this is going to be a the Bills shellacking.
Okay, you think they win big. I think Tennessee will keep it close, but maybe it turns into like a 14-point game at the end. Finally, we got Minnesota at Philadelphia.
This one's tough.
It really is. Can that Philly running attack keep it going against the Vikings, a defense that looked tremendously improved?
The defense looked improved for the Vikings, which I thought that was going to be a rebuilding defense. And I understand that the Lions were a powerhouse against the Eagles' D, but are they prepared for, well, this is actually going to sound kind of nuts for a lot of people, but I'm just going to say this Vikings offense is elite.
Well, Justin Jefferson sure is, and he's going to be a problem, but I'm surprised you have not mentioned it's a primetime game, Kirk Cousins. I'm going Philadelphia.
I didn't even put that in consideration. That's where I get out of blind. And yes, it's the second Monday night game. Well, if you go by my philosophy, why is he so bad when it's 11 o'clock? It's because it's his bedtime. Sunday night, I've always said, why is he bad on Sunday night? Because he woke up super early to go to church. And 11 o'clock at night, he goes, why am I playing football? It's time for me to go to bed. You've seen the Sleep Number bed commercials. Oh, man. It's tough. But the planets being aligned say Eagles. I grit my teeth a little bit, but I'm going Eagles.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for week two predictions. Any final thoughts?
I find it very funny how Matt Ryan was one of the top five quarterbacks as far as pass yards, and he couldn't seal the deal against the Texans. I understand that the Atlanta Falcons choking is starting to become a running joke for the last, well, it's going to go on for about a decade at this rate, maybe more. I'm looking at Matt Ryan to improve because I hope that this whole, oh, Atlanta could never score in the red zone. If we learn that's a Matt Ryan thing, that's going to impact a lot of people. And it's going to make us look different when we mention names like Julio Jones. Aside that, I think there's going to be a couple of shockers. And it's going to be very surprising seeing some teams be 0-2. And if you're some teams, they're going to be 0-2, like let's say the Cardinals, or let's say the Titans. Playoff berth team starting off 0-2. Ouch. Plenty of season left to go, but we know how these locker rooms work. We've seen 0-2 teams flourish, and we've seen them be driven into the ground like a 9-pound hammer. And that's all I
Indeed.
got for this week, week one. Tex, anything?
No, that sums it up for me. So remember to check us out on Twitter, Guys Gabbing Gridiron. And on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.